Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us bow in prayer together. Shall we pray? O God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day, for all the blessings of life. Indeed, you're so generous to shower us with blessings every moment of every day. When we consider the stars, how many there are, the galaxies, the worlds that are continuing to move away in understandings, also in realities. As we look through the mighty telescopes, we are in awe of your massive creation that's still occurring in so many different ways. We give you thanks that the earth is here, that it is ours, and that it is inhabitable, and we are here, living and moving and having our being. What is also magnificent, Lord, is that you know us. As Jesus once said, the number of hairs on our heads you know, and the sparrows, you know who they are. So thank you, O Lord, for your grandeur, and thank you, O Lord, for your intimacy, to know the particular and the small things, as well as the great and glorious realities. So here we are today on a tremendous holiday weekend. We are grateful for this country. We are grateful for those who have given their lives, in the words of Abraham Lincoln, to the last full measure of their devotion. We are so grateful that they left the familiar, the villages, the homes, the cities, their families, to wear the uniform of the country in its defense. Dear Lord, this is the day which our country, setting aside the last Monday of May, this is the weekend where we remember and we say thank you. At the same time, O Lord, we petition you to please grant traveling mercies upon folks who are on the move. It is amazing how many folks on this holiday continue to go visiting, continue to go to the beach or to the lake, continue to enjoy the magnificence of family and friends and opportunities which this weather and our opportunities give to us. So please grant traveling mercies upon all who are traveling indeed. We also want to remember, O Lord, that there are many less fortunate than we who simply cannot really move or have a vacation. They're pretty well locked in to their economic situation. They're locked into their social and ethnic situations. We remember those less fortunate than we. For as we enjoy the freedoms that are ours, given by those soldiers who died for us, as well as those who are willing to die, We also remember those that haven't had the chance or the chances that we have to affirm our abilities for freedom. Freedom of movement and the joy of family, of friends, of sightseeing, of resting. Dear Heavenly Father, we need to confess to you that we really have been lax in our faithfulness to you and to your realm. We confess to you that we so often have worshiped the object instead of the Creator, the objects of your creation instead of the one who made them in the first place. So with our misplaced loyalties and our problems we get into when we worship things rather than you, O God, we simply must confess. Hear our prayers, for we have indeed sinned and fallen short of your glory. Hear our secret sins as we lift them up to you silently. O God, even as we confess our sins to you and repent from them, you are quick to forgive us. So let us accept your full forgiveness of our sins and go forward with our heads up and our shoulders thrown back, accepting the reality of the new creation in Christ that you give to us. Hear also our prayers of intercession. We pray, O Lord, for where there is conflict, for everywhere there is conflict. Conflict within our souls, within our communities. Conflict, open warfare in certain places of the earth. Conflict due to not enough food and how it's distributed. We pray, O Lord, for the conflicts that we see in our political process. Always we pray for the candidates, that somehow, in some way, we can see the Christ through what they say and do. We pray, O Lord, for those less fortunate than we. Help all work together with you to let this place be a better one in which we live. Dear Lord, there's much we can do to help where there is conflict and pain. We do remember the sick. We remember the sick in our congregation. Be with them, be with us as we pastor them and bring the great, wonderful news of the tidings of Jesus and the love of Christ himself. Now, God, there are many who are bereaved. There are others who are dealing with shattered relationships. We ask your blessings upon every situation, not just those known to us, but also those that we simply don't have a grasp on as yet. Bless this church. Bless all who come and worship here. In the name of Jesus, we pray these prayers, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Shall humble themselves and pray.
This time I would like for the boys and girls to come forward. I have something that I would like to talk with you about. Good. Others who'd like to come? Let's meet right over here. And how are you? I'm glad to see you. Well, do you know what this is? You know what it is? That's a flag, isn't it? Whose flag is it? Our flag. It's America's flag. That's right. And you see the stars, the stripes, the red and the white. And look up there. See the blue? Isn't that neat? That is very important as a flag talks about the country, our country. I want to tell you something. This weekend is a very important time. Why? Because we are remembering people who fought for us to be free. And you know what's going to happen? And I want you to look for him. He's really grown. I want you to look for him. And I want all of us to look as well. Little tiny flags are going to be put on the graves of our soldiers who died. So what we can do to remember and to be thankful for their sacrifice is to go by the cemeteries and see the flags on the graves, one like this, except little teeny tiny ones, and say, thank you for giving your life for us. Can you do that? Yeah, okay, good. Let's have a prayer together. Thank you, O Lord, for flags, for country, for also veterans who have died to support us and let us live in freedom. We know, O Lord, that sacrifice is part of your plan for all of us. Let us turn our sacrifice over to you, not just to the country, but to your realm as well. Amen. And thank you for coming up to see me today. Okay. Thank you.
Please stand with us.
be seated. Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the fourth gospel, from chapter number 8 of the fourth gospel, beginning with verse 31 and then reading through verse 33. So let us hear the word of the Lord. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Amen. And here ends this reading from God's word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Tomorrow, of course, we celebrate Memorial Day. We remember those service personnel who have died defending the liberties and values of the United States of America. The tradition of decorating or cleaning and placing flowers on the tombstones of our veterans started actually during the American Civil War. In October of 1864, with the war still having months left to fight, in Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania, some ladies of the community decided that was the appropriate things to do. Pennsylvania had had lots of casualties during the Civil War and would take a good many more. But that was the start. It slowly gained popularity throughout the United States, both North and South, including an African-American community in Charleston, South Carolina. In Columbus, Mississippi, by 1866, Confederate and Union dead graves were decorated. And it was formerly called Decoration Day. I remember when it was Decoration Day, even though just after the First World War, the government officially changed it to Memorial Day. So that tells you how long it takes for an executive order coming down from the president, passed by Congress, to the folks out on the local level. Took it a long time to change because I distinctly remember it being called Decoration Day. But it is Memorial Day now. And in 1971, the last Monday in May was designated as the time when the graves of veterans would be cleaned, grass clipped around the stones, and flowers, or a flag, or both, put on the headstones. In addition, there have been many parades, all kinds of picnics, all kinds of community opportunities to remember those who have died. Families have been recognized, and it has been a very special time to remember those who have died. And Memorial Day also signals the beginning of the summer. I asked that young lady right there if she were out of school, and she said she was. "Bet you miss it, you're going to beat down the door to come and go tomorrow morning, aren't you?" She said, "No." So it's the end of school for many, many people. Beginning of summer. Summer jobs are in the offing. It's a special, special time. So today we're going to talk about freedom. There are lots of kinds of freedom. We love that word freedom, especially if we don't have to take responsibility for the freedom. Most of us are bent that way. We want to be free, but somebody else to pay for it. Unfortunately, that's how we are these days, so let's take it and run with it, because for us even to have that thought means somebody did pay for it. Because those who would take over this country have continually had to be beaten back and will need to be forever in some level of conflict to push back the forces of darkness, forces of division, forces of evil, if you please, so that the rest of us can enjoy that freedom. So when we think of freedom, one of the first things I think of is Patrick Henry, who in the legislature of the Commonwealth of Virginia, while it was still a colony, he said, "Give me liberty or give me death." This was the watchword of the American Revolution. Give me liberty or give me death. So freedom can certainly mean political freedoms. However, we need also remember that our veterans died for religious freedoms too. We're free to worship in this country, to worship in any form that we are led. And we're also free not to worship. We're free to use any kind of mode of worship, with some major exceptions, which are very harmful to the participants. But we're free. And this is something we often take for granted. I knew today, of course, that with it being a holiday, many folks will be on the road. And they are. And we sure thank Tommy for lighting the candles, because Jenna and her folks are out of town. This is a special time to get away, and we enjoy it because we are free to do so. Now, in the scriptures, we find another reference to freedom, and this is part of the text that I used this morning. The pertinent part is what Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Interesting, because many universities and colleges have this sentence somewhere over the archway of a great entrance: "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's more or less an advertisement to study, because the more you study, the freer you will get. There's some truth to that, because knowledge helps with freedom. But I know a lot of people who are very smart, but are not free. And they're certainly not free in the sense that Jesus meant for it to be. So knowledge as information, yes, it can set you free on many levels of reality. But the first part of that statement, "If you continue in my word, you truly are my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The issue is continuing in Jesus' word. Now, here's where John Wesley picked up with a very important thought. And he set forth his thought in a powerful sermon entitled "Catholic Spirit." Now, you know not to be afraid of the word Catholic. Catholic simply means universal. Yes, there is a Roman universal church, a Roman Catholic church, but you put a little C on it and it simply means universal. Universal spirit, Catholic spirit. Now, John Wesley was a tremendous scholar, and he found a certain passage that illustrated his point. It comes from 2 Kings, and it's Jehu, sometimes called Yehu, still other times called Yahu, and we've heard of Yahoo. There's a tremendous website, although it's having financial problems, known as Yahoo, and that easily could be traced all the way back into the Old Testament for Jehu, Yehu, and Yahu. He was talking with a general that was coming up with his gang of family, really, or his army. And Jehu was stamping out the family of King Ahab. And oh, what a slaughter it was. So here comes this gentleman. He says, "Who are you?" And he says, "Who is?" Jehu recognizes he's not part of Ahab's family, so the killing will not include those folks. But rather than check his belief system, he said to him, and this comes from 2 Kings, "If your heart is as mine, then give me your hand, and my heart is as yours, give me your hand." In other words, you and I do not have to agree on beliefs, on point of views, but if our heart is with God, namely, has the love for us, the love of Christ in it, then give me your hand and let's go with it. We can go with life. And this is where John Wesley more or less put his golf ball on the tee. I don't think he played golf, but you get my point. You are ready to drive the ball. If your heart is as mine and mine is as yours, then give me your hand. This has colossal meaning for us United Methodists. Because Wesley, as you know, was our founder. And we've been having these sermons on basic Methodist beliefs. Catholic spirit is who we are. It sometimes has caused a bit of negative points of view, however, because I have heard, and I would imagine you have too, that you could just believe anything and be a Methodist. Anybody ever heard that? You can believe anything and be a Methodist. Well, that's not quite true, because Wesley didn't take it to that extreme. He would call that latitudinarianism. That is an 18th century word that you really don't need to remember. But he would call it where everything has latitude. It doesn't matter as long as your heart is right. Yes, Wesley stuck to the articles of religion, which are very specific. He said, that's what Methodists ought to believe, but there is an overwhelming, overarching point of view that's also very important. Namely, it is, if you have continued following Jesus, you will develop a depth of love which is more profound, more important than whether we agree on the proper kinds of baptism, on how to say the creed and which creed, on the proper kinds of worship. If your heart loves Jesus, then give me your hand. And that's where we Methodists shine forth, because let's have a show of hands. How many former Baptists are in here? Very good. How many former Presbyterians are in here? Anybody? There's one right over there. How many Episcopalians? There's another one, you see? And how many Methodists? Birth. All right, there we go. So you see, we are a massive conglomerate of different traditions. When we, or if we, or who can join together officially, we're asked very broad, generic questions, are we not? Not a catechism like a Presbyterian church. What is the sole purpose of man is question one. To praise God and to enjoy Him forever. You had to know that answer, you see. So we don't have a catechism, but we do have love. We are to love each other regardless of our theological reflections, our personal traditions. And when we disagree, and I can just about be guaranteed to say that we're not going to agree on everything, are we in here? Larry, do you agree with everything out here? I didn't think he did. And you know what? Especially I love about Larry. He will tell you immediately if he disagrees with you. Won't you, Larry?
Yes.
I thought so. See, this is part of the joy of being Methodist. We love Larry, even though we might think what he says is way out in left field. Nobody ever disagrees with you, do they, Larry?
Yes.
But it is intrinsically Methodist for us to love each other. We live, we love, and we let think. This takes a great deal of practice, and we get that practice by pursuing the love of Jesus more deeply, more profoundly, every day. Because all of us are created in the image of God. Christ died for all of us, for heaven's sakes. And if Christ died for all of us, opinions as they are, it still means that we are each other's brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are to love each other. So this is what Wesley has set forth in his Catholic spirit. We are to have a universal spirit where we take the love of Jesus, bore down into our own souls, understanding that we have a commonality with each other, regardless of our backgrounds, theological persuasions, worship practices, doesn't matter. We can also add, regardless of our political persuasions. And if ever there were a people, a country that needed Catholic spirit, it is now. Because we have tendencies, and it's getting worse and worse and worse, to demonize our political opponents. And it is specifically and directly cutting our nation apart. And these folks who died for the flag, who died that we can all have a chance at living, even though we disagree on some points, living and loving and caring, it makes their death in vain when we can't get along with our political opponents. And we need to be ashamed of that. Because not only have we let our veterans down, we also are letting Jesus down. I want us to work hard on that, because if this nation is ever going to come together again, at least in my lifetime, then it's going to start with the local church. And we're going to need to practice loving people whom we disagree with, and disagree with profoundly. There are a number of evidences that this church is doing a fine job. We continue in the Word, and we're able to love, and we're able to be set free. Free from our backgrounds, free from our politics, free from our theologies, free from our worship practices. We are able to be one through the love of Christ. We are free to be one. And I saw it once again. It was our time to have the love kitchen last night over at the Presbyterian Church. We had folks bring food. We had folks come, 85 to 90 people, hungry people, who came. And our folks were busy as beavers in that kitchen. And they were served. They had a wonderful time. And after that, they played bingo. You know what the prizes were? Household and personal necessities. Because food stamps don't pay for things like toothpaste or cleaning, dish cleaning liquids, that sort of thing. So this is something we can do. Do we believe as they believe? Do we really want to be around them, so to speak? It was irrelevant last night. Why? Because we were around them. And we welcomed each other. And they were glad to see us, and we were glad to see them. And we could share the love of Jesus on multiple levels at the same time. Is your heart as mine? And mine with yours? Then give me your hand. Continue to follow in the Word, and you shall know the truth. What is the truth? Why, it's Jesus Christ, of course. And the truth will set you free. And we see that. This is the sort of thing that we can offer to the world, and we do, and the other churches of this town do as well. So I commend that to you. That is an example. I can give you another example. Last night we had a wedding here. We did not know if that wedding was on or off. The communication among all of us was simply hit and miss. Poor Wayne, he calls me up in a panic yesterday about 2:00. They're having a wedding here. I says, yeah, I thought there wasn't going to be a wedding here. Nobody called me. Well, you weren't playing the organ. But he was surprised. Terry was surprised. Terry, you're in charge. Jobel was surprised. Could we please get in the church? You'll never forget that one, will you, Jobel? But don't you see, we could have played by the rules which stated certain things which, for whatever reason, were not fulfilled. But we could have empathy for a bride and a groom. And we said, I think the best thing to do is practice the love of Jesus rather than stick by the rules. This is what our church does. Yes, it's an imposition. Yes, many had other things they had to do. Yes, yes, and yes, communication was shot. But somehow, all of us love Jesus. We set aside that which would tear us up, and we said, or you said, let's get this wedding done. This is what it's going to take for freedom to continue in our town and in this country. There have got to be enough church congregations to forget about things that are divisive and to center in on the spiritual things which are uniting. Because it is true, Christ did die for all of us. And the veterans died so that we could be free. There's another passage in John's gospel that says, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You can apply that in some senses of the word to what soldiers do in protecting the homeland. So I want us to do something special this weekend. Same thing as I suggested last Memorial Day. And it's what I suggested to that young man, Cassie, that you brought up, your boy there. Let's all find a way to go to a veteran's cemetery this weekend. Let's go there. Now, don't give me that. I've got other things to do and I can't make it. Most of us get in the car and we go and we do whatever we want to do, with some exceptions. But let's go to a veteran's cemetery sometime this week. End. And let's see all those beautiful flags on the headstones, American flags. And let's have a prayer of thanksgiving for what they've done. And take a little bit more time and look at the names and check the dates out. and see how long they got to live before their lives were snuffed, and be thankful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We have had the word preached and sung and read, so now let us give back to God his tithes and our offerings. Thank you, O Lord, for all of your blessings, especially for the gift of money and our joy of spending it and charging it. Now accept this money, your tithes and our offerings, and use this money to further your work of freedom through the realm of Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Our hymn of dedication is Send Your Word. There may be those individuals who would like to come about the altar railing for prayer, perhaps those who would like to unite in the fellowship of the church. If you'd come forward as we sing this hymn, we'd be very honored to recognize your request. Give the benediction, I'd like to recognize my brother Charles and his wife Trish, who came just immediately after we began, so he ducked out of being introduced by you, Terry. But it's great, Charlie, Trish, to have you with us, and we're glad you came over. They're on their way to Nashville to visit Trish's mom. Please receive the blessing. Go forth in peace, in joy, and in thanksgiving. Go forth and enjoy your freedoms. So many exist here. Go forth, and may the peace of God bless you in every way. In His name.